All right, we do not yet have a sponsor for tonight's shir, but Shkayach Terps Tzvi. I'm sorry? That's why Sean's called, right? If it's not
sponsored,
by the
way, it goes downhill from here.
Yeah. It's not sponsored, Sean's called. That's...
So I'll say, this was planned, right?
So tremendous thank you to Steve, first of all, to Reb Steve here in the flesh, and tremendous shout out to Reb Steve for coordinating. We'll say, so tonight we're going to do something.
I'm sponsored.
Shkayach from Scott.
It's my grandmother's yurt site.
What's the name?
Fruma Bat Avram.
Fruma Bas Avram. We hope that in America, Fruma Bas Avram, Meretz Hashem, Neshama Shav, and Aliyah, the family in the Chama, and the Meretz Hashem Halavai. Should be a melech yosher for the entire mishpacha. So, mostly with that, let us begin. Let us begin. So, shows here. Somebody else is here. Alright, good. All right. So, we'll say. So, let's tonight. I want to do a little bit different. So, Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful set of svarim called the Kuti Alochas. As I mentioned many times. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov didn't really write his own Torah. It was written down by his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson. So Rabbi Nosson, in the Kuti Halachas, Kuti Halachas is really quite interesting. I don't think we've ever learned the Kuti Halachas in this particular slot. So the Kuti Halachas, the way it works, here, we'll see the sheets, yeah, not Piaget's, not tonight. So the way it works in the Kuti Halachas is the Rebbe essentially quotes from the Shulchan Aruch and then goes ahead and really expounds in a panemia sticker fashion on a particular halacha. So it happens to be, the part that we're going to do tonight is actually an introduction to Arach Chaim Halacha Gimel, Simin Aleph Halacha Gimel, which actually happens to be the halachos of Berchos HaShachar, the laws of morning brachos. But I'm showing you now tonight the introduction, because the entire Torah of Rabbi Nachman is really based on a particular mashal, based on a parable. So what we're going to do tonight is, Meretz Hashem, take a look at this mashal. Like I said, tonight, I apologize in advance. We have a little bit of a shorter shir tonight. It's Baruch Hashem, I have to go back to a chasana. But I didn't want to miss tonight. And then next week, next week is Shavasa B'Talmas. How about Mashiach will be here? Being Yerushalayim together, Meretz Hashem, learning Piyajatzna, with the Rabbi, with the Piyajatzna. But I figured for tonight, this is a nice self-contained piece in Meretz Hashem. So look what the Rabbi says. So he says over here, I'm on, what's the page that's marked page Ches? Page Ches. Now here's what's interesting. Rabbi Nachman actually did not have a lot of stories, a lot of meisim. He had just a number of different meisim that were, now the difference with Rabbi Nachman is his stories were exceptionally long, very long meisim. And the stories themselves were multiple layers of message upon message upon message. So this happens to be one of Rabbi Nachman's core stories, one of his core mashalim, his core parables. And he says as follows, look at this. Tchilas ha-maisim. This is actually the condensed version of the story, but you're going to see how profound and how beautiful it is. Tachlis ha-maisim hu, sha-malka va-shivcha yodu ba-osazman. So the story goes like this. The queen and her maidservant both gave birth to children at the same time. So what happened? This is interesting, like a social experiment here. The midwife switched the babies. She gave the queen's baby to the maidservant, and the maidservant's baby to the queen. I guess, I don't know, this was like a social experiment, you know? What would happen? Nurture versus nature. So the midwife goes ahead, the midwife switches the babies. So what happens? Ukishigatlu, hischilu habrios ledarba achilovze. So what happened? As the boys grew up, so again, just to get our terms right, the ben ha-shivcha is the maidservant's son. But remember again, in the mashal, the maidservant's son thinks that he's what? What does he think he is? He thinks he's the king, right? Because remember again, the maidservant's son was switched with the queen's son. So what we call the ben ha-shivcha, the maidservant's son, thinks that he's the king. Right, he's operating as if he's the king, and the Ben HaMelech, the son of the king, thinks that he's just a commoner, just a maidservant's son. So what happens? So the two boys grow up, and as they're growing up, okay, nothing remarkable is happening. But as they get older, people begin to talk about this. There's some talk that perhaps these two babies, these two boys, were switched at birth. What happened? As a result, Umitoch kach, Hischil Ben HaShivcha, Shenas HaMelech, Lirdof has Ben HaMelech, Shegadol Eis HaShivcha, Ad Shegersh HaLagamrei. So what ended up happening? The Ben HaShivcha So remember again, the maidservant's son, who again is operating as the king, hears murmuring that people are saying he's not really royalty, he's really the son of the Shifcha, and what does he do? He persecutes the son of the Melech, who's being raised as the son of the Shifcha, right? Obviously, he's insecure. Everybody's telling him, hey, you're not the real rightful heir to the throne. After all, again, you were swapped at birth. Your mother is the Shifcha. That Ben HaShifcha is really the Ben HaMelech. So again, just the terms are important to get down. What the Rebbe calls the Ben HaShifcha, the son of the maidservant, that's the biological son of the maidservant who is operating in the capacity as the king. What he calls the Ben HaMelech, the son of the king, that's the actual biological son of the king, who ultimately, again, is relegated to the status of a servant. Okay, so now, that's the story. So again, the son of the Shifcha, the Ben HaShifcha, gets an inferiority complex, understandably so, and he begins to persecute the Ben HaMelech until the Ben HaMelech feels the need to flee. He just leaves, okay? Umitoch kach, nafal Ben HaMelech b'daito. Shabbosai says, you can imagine the Ben HaMelech was very depressed, right? Because after all, the Ben HaMelech knew deep down who and what he was. He knew that he was royalty, but he was, you know, he felt he was exiled from the kingdom. He has nothing to show for it. Kilo hivin madua ma'amigzar alav gerush. Because he had no idea why was he being exiled. You know, bad enough that he was exchanged at birth, and now again he doesn't even have a home to call his own. Shahare imhu ben amelech be'emes bevade eno magialo, v'gam imhu be'emes ben shifcha lo magialo gerush. Because the Ben HaMelech figured like this: if I'm the real king, then I shouldn't be expelled from my land. I mean, if I'm not real king, even if I'm just the Ben HaShifcha, just the son of a maidservant, why should I be mistreated like this? Why should I be exiled? Why can't I just live my life in general tranquility? Umitoch chalishos daito nafal la'averus v'lishichrus. And because he became depressed, what happens when he became depressed? Ultimately, he fell into the clutches of sin and drunkenness. Now, remember again, I will say, this is very Rabbi Nachman-esque. Because remember again, the Rebbe says, the greatest challenge that we face in life is not chet. The greatest challenge in life is not sin. What's the greatest challenge in life? Yeosh, depression. Depression, when a person falls into the clutches of sadness, then that's, the Rebbe says that sadness is the greatest tool of the Yetzirah. Because if the Yetzirah can make you sad, then pretty much that gets you to give up on anything and everything. And the moment you give up on yourself is the moment that anything, any sin, becomes within reach. Whereas the Yetzirah knows, you can't get me to sin, can't come at me, like frontally to sin because I'm a Yid, I want to do what's right. But put me in a bad state of mind, put me in a state of yeosh, put me in a state of sadness, and then that opens the door to all kinds of terrible behaviors. So the Ben HaMelech became so depressed, both about the fact that his station was switched in life, and now he's exiled. He's a man without a home. He's a man without anything. That ultimately, again, he falls into depression, and as a result of the depression, ultimately, again, begins to drink, begins to get into averus. Paragraph Beis. Pamachos, listen to this. So one time, Pamachos cholom cholom. One time he had a dream. What was his dream? Shebo ne'emar lo shim hu rotz latakin atzmo yelech liyirit ploni v'hadover harishon sheyatziu avuro yasa. What was his dream? His dream was go to the Yirid. The Yirid was like the fair, like the marketplace fair. Go to the marketplace fair, and whatever opportunity presents itself first to you, take advantage of it. That's what you should do. Ukeshebal Yirid, Hitzilo Lahanik Behemus, Bekachasa. So when he showed up at the Yirid, he shows up at the fair. It's like a job market, it's like a job fair. What's the first job that's available? Shepherding. We need a shepherd. We need someone to take the flock out to pasture. The guy had a dream, right? The Ben Melech had a dream. My dream was take the first opportunity. He takes the opportunity. Ukeshehiskil Lahanigosam. Now, so what happens? He's out on his first day on the job. He's shepherding the flock. Barcho Mimenu Shtei Behemus Lusachayar. So what happens first day on the job? Two animals run away. First day on the job, two animals run away into the forest. And ultimately, he ran after a good shepherd. We'll say, what does a good shepherd do? Right? A good shepherd tries to keep the flock together. The flock wants to do whatever the flock wants to do. Right? The flock wants to run all different directions. And it's the job of the shepherd. It's the holy job of the shepherd. I say, this is why, by the way, it's no accident that every single one of our great leaders began their careers as shepherds. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron not as much, because Aaron was again was already part of Shevet Levi. He was exempted. And David, after David it stops, because remember again, after David there's a dynastic monarchy, so Shlomo doesn't have to shepherd, he's already a monarchy. But every single one of our great major, Yosef, every single one of our leaders started their career in shepherding. Why? Because anything and everything you need to know about being a leader in Klal Yisrael, you can learn from being a shepherd. What do the sheep want to do? The sheep want to do whatever they want to do. And what's most important to each sheep? What it wants. And the sheep wants to go here, and the sheep wants to go there. And this is the smarter sheep, and this is the firmer sheep, and this is this. And every sheep has its agenda, and the shepherd has one simple task, not a simple task at all, which is keep the flock together. And if somebody runs away, bring him back in. And somebody steers the flock in the wrong way, course correct. So this guy, this Ben Melech, he's taking the flock. Two animals run away. What does he do as a good shepherd? He runs after them. What happened as a result? So then we'll say, unfortunately, our Ben Melech was not an experienced shepherd. So what happens? He goes to look for the two lost animals, and what ends up happening? He loses the rest of the animals, and he gets lost himself. So now he's lost in the middle of the forest. No sheep, no nothing, no home, nothing. Not a good day. To make matters worse. Then nightfall comes. Umitoch pachad halayla v'achayis. So what happens? We'll say, now it's nightfall. He's in the middle of the forest. He has no idea where he is. It's pitch black. He lost the flock. And then what does he begin to hear? The howling of the animals around him. So what does he do? Ola al ilan lalun sham. Figures, you know what? Let me climb a tree. The idea over here, climbing the tree, of course, is around. Let me get to safety. Let me get to some high point. First of all, again, I can kind of see what's going on over here. And at least for the night, when I can't see anything, I'll have the relative safety perched on the top of the tree. So what happens? Visham, are you ready for this? Visham, pagash adam nosa v'chlita liyos yachad. He gets up to the top of the tree, and what does he find? Someone else is there. There's another guy there. Okay. So what happens? So okay, so now it's pitch black, but he figures, all right, there's another guy there. Good. Fantastic. I love company for the night. Good. Now what happens? Wow. Turns out, who was the other guy on the tree? The other guy on the tree was the Ben HaShifcha. Was the Ben HaShifcha? Now again, I'm supposed to remember, who's the Ben HaShifcha? That's the biological son of the maidservant, who again was raised as the king. So what is the Ben HaShifcha doing up on the tree? It was a left-hand column. Shemitoch hirhurei charata masha asla ben ha-melech azav malchuso uba'achas apamim kisher. So what happens? The Ben HaShifcha felt so bad about what he did to the Ben HaMelech, right? Because remember again, the Ben HaShifcha persecuted the Ben HaMelech because of the Ben HaShifcha's own insecurity, that the Ben HaMelech left home. The Ben HaShifcha felt so bad about what he did to the Ben HaMelech that he couldn't live with himself. So what did he do? He abdicated the throne. He left. Azav Malchuso, and he was riding on a horse. And then what happens? One day, the Ben HaShifcha, who abdicated the throne, is out riding his horse. And what occurs? He gets off the horse for a moment for whatever reason, and the horse runs away. So now again, he's horseless. He's mamish, he's sitting there, absolutely horseless. He ran after his horse. Couldn't get his horse, couldn't find his horse. So what did he do? Once again, he's also alone in the forest. He scales the tree to the top of the tree. Incredible. Okay. Shalom says, so now just imagine the scene. It's pitch black, middle of the night, forest. Both men are lost. And again, who are these two men? The Ben HaShifcha and the Ben HaMelech. The two babies switched at birth. Acherkach. Matzah ben HaMelech sak im lechem. Afterwards, the Ben HaMelech found a bag with some bread in it. And what happens? Ukira os chaviro sheyesh lo lechem hiftzir bo ma'od lases lo. And ultimately, again, so what happens? So now the Ben HaMelech finds a bag with some bread in it. And then what happens? Now when the Ben HaShifcha saw that he has some food, he has some bread, so he encouraged him, right? Encouraged him. Please, you know, share with me. Va'af hayamucha limkra asma lo li'eved avarkach. Ve'hiskim l'chach Ben HaMelech. V'chaver nishpalo shila eved v'av kishiyo li'yishuv. And what happens? So now the Ben HaMelech has the bag of bread. The Ben HaShifcha is so starving. He says, listen, if you give me something to eat, I'll be your servant. I'll be your servant. So the Ben HaMelech says, okay, good deal. And now ultimately, again, the Ben HaMelech shares his bread with the Ben HaShivcha. The Ben HaShivcha becomes the Ben HaMelech's servant. And this is how they continue. So what happens, about say? Acher kach, paragraph Gimel. Now finish it. Paragraph Gimel. Acher kach. Pogsho Adam Godel, Shinikra Ishayar. Afterwards, they came across another guy. This guy was known as the man of the forest. So what happens? This Ben Hayar, right? Ishayar, this man of the forest, whoever he was, invites the Ben HaMelech and the Ben HaShivcha to his house. Says, come, you've been lost for a while, come to my house. I'll give you food, I'll give you drink, you can get a good night's sleep. Balayla, shamu es kol shagas hachayos, ubitchila nifalu en nifalu. So what happens? They're spending the night in this guy's house, and once again they begin to hear the animals howl. And they become very scared, of course, from the howling of the animal. But as they paid a little bit more attention, they heard it wasn't the howling of animals. It was the most beautiful song. And when they woke up in the morning, they heard incredible laughter. What was the laughter?
All right,
so we're going to leave that part for our next year, but I'll just translate it for now, then we'll leave it on the side. At the end of the day, what is here? That howling at night, that was actually not howling of animals, but rather the animals had composed a new niggun. They had composed a new song. Why did they compose a new song? Because the moon had doubled in its radiance and brilliance. Okay, heavy stuff going on over here. Look at the last paragraph on the page. Ramlam Ishayar, Shiyesh Etzlokli, Shiyachal Nagin Nigun Nifla Yosem and Nigun Shashamu. And the Ishayar said, in my house, I have a beautiful instrument, and with that instrument, I could play even a more beautiful Nigun, a more beautiful tune than the one you heard last night. Vateva Shalaklihu, Kishemanichem Osala Behemo, Himatchila Lenagin Esanigun Azeh. Skip a little bit. Good. Fine. Let's pause here. So we'll say this is the mashal, and this is the name of this mashal. The name of this story is called the Ben HaShivcha and the Ben HaMelech. Okay, pretty descriptive term. Hey, we'll say what's the message? What's the message of this? So if you take a look on the next page, page Tes. So the Rebbe says something very beautiful. He says, "Lekaman mevar merav nasan bepnimius inyan chilov." So we'll say, so just to tell you this, what was this? Is obviously, it's a very gripping story. What was the message that Rabbi Nachman was trying to convey? So Rabbi Nachman was trying to convey that we go through life with a tremendous amount of identity confusion. I don't know who I am. That I think I'm a certain person, or I create for myself a particular identity, thinking that this is the identity that I'm supposed to have, without ever really discovering who and what I'm actually supposed to be. And I must say, so much of life has us settling into roles. It's sometimes cute. You see this with parents sometimes, that unwitting, it comes from a good place, but parents sometimes will say, oh, yeah, my son's going to be a doctor. He's so smart. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. And parents don't realize sometimes when you do that, you're doing a tremendous disservice to your children, right? In other words, your children are going to figure out what they're going to be. But sometimes trying to cast our children in our own mold, and society does this a lot to us also, there are roles and expectations which are often created for us. And consciously, subconsciously, we tend to settle into those roles and identities. And we go through life never really discovering who and what we are. I will say, if you think about this for a moment, this is a lot what we discussed in the Piagetzna, right? One of the things that the Rebbe keeps reinforcing over and over and over is getting to know yourself, understanding who you are. I will say, you ever have a situation in life where you know there's something you have to do, right? You know you have something to do, but you just don't do it. Anyone have a situation like that? Yeah, don't yell it out, whatever it is, right? I say, I know. People say, life is a great mystery. By the way, newsflash, life is actually not a great mystery, right? 9 out of 10 times, I actually know what I'm supposed to do. So, but I don't do it. I just don't do it. Why? Most of you ever ask yourself that question, why? Why? And sometimes, like, it's the million-dollar question. Why don't I get out of my own way? Why do I pull the rug out from under myself? Why do I self-sabotage? Why don't I actualize my potential? These are all like, and part of it is because I don't know me. I really don't know me. I will say, this is why, by the way, this is the most incredible thing. Do you know at the end of the day why we love devices so much? Right? Why we love devices? Let's be honest. Why do we love devices?
Distraction.
Right? It's the greatest distraction in the world. You never have to think about anything, right? If you're bored, what do you do? What do you do? Just check WhatsApp status, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world, right? You think about this, like people can literally spend the whole day checking what other people are posting, which, by the way, I venture to say a good portion of it is like what people ate for dinner, right? Or does someone need a ride from Muncie to Lakewood? You know, like whatever. Like, I just found out what ISO means, right? And I'm just saying, like, I will say, but you ever wonder, like, I don't know, like, Mimanov Shach, you're going to spend your time doing something. Why is it? Why? And we're so easily hijacked. This is not a technology, Joshua. I'm just saying, why? Because deep down, I don't want to think. Deep down, really what I don't want is, I don't want to be alone with me. I don't want to be alone with me. Why? Because if I'm alone with me, I have to ask a lot of uncomfortable questions. Why am I not performing the way I need to perform? Why am I not the husband I need to be, the father I need to be, the son I need to be, the brother I need to be, the Jew I need to be? Because I will say, a lot of us are underperforming, and for not really any good reasons. Not really any good reasons. And I don't want to think about it. I just want to think about it. So instead, it's so much easier just to lose myself. And you go through life distracting and losing yourself and never really getting to know you. And if I don't get to know me, it's very difficult to accomplish my shlichus. And it's very difficult to accomplish my tachlis. And it's very difficult to self-actualize because, again, I'm doing anything and everything not to be alone with myself, which is why, by the way, in Chassidus, one of the most important avodas is hisbodedus. And what's hisbodedus? Hisbodedus is literally being alone with yourself. That's what it is. It's literally, again, spending time with yourself to get to know yourself. That's the avoda. That's the avoda. And the Rebbe says, what's the problem? The problem is when you don't get to know yourself, you have identity confusion. Because we'll say, what's this whole mashal? The Ben Melech thinks that he's a Ben Shifcha. The Ben Shifcha thinks that he's a Ben Melech. And everyone is fundamentally confused. But I will say, here's what's incredible. When do they figure it out? When does everybody figure it out? When they ultimately, again, go up the tree, right, in the middle of the darkness of the night. What's happening at night? Absolutely nothing. They're paralyzed. They can't move. They can't go anywhere. In that moment where there is forced contemplation, that's when they discover who and what they truly are. Rabbi Nachman teaching us in this mashal that at the end of the day, the greatest challenge we have is not knowing ourselves. And even worse than not knowing yourself is being fundamentally confused about who and what you are. That a Ben Melech thinking that he's a Shifcha, and a Ben Shifcha thinking that he's a Melech, that's where there's incredible danger, right? Because they both say, if at the end of the day, I'm a great person who's capable of incredible greatness, but I think that I'm a nothing, that's problematic. The flip side, if I'm not great, but I think that I am great, that's also dangerous. And when you have this identity confusion, it's so difficult to get things going in life because at the end of the day, I'm just stuck in this loop of identity ambiguity. It's only once nightfall comes, I can't move anywhere, I can't go anywhere, that I go up the tree in the dark of the night. And what happens? The Ben Shifcha realizes that he's the Ben Melech, and the Ben Melech realizes that he's the Shifcha. That's what ends up happening over here. And I will say one last piece, and I apologize, I have to stop a little bit early tonight. But if you take a look, one of the ways we use it, how do you do it? Of course, so one way to do it is climb a tree in the middle of the night, right? One thing you can do is lose your flock, climb up a tree in the middle of the night and just wait it out. You could do that, which is profound, but there's another way. Take a look at the last page on the packet. This is another piece from Rabbi Nachman. And I will say, this is beautiful. This is from Parshas Chukas, the first of the little parshas. Remember again, the parasha says, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Right? So then, right, the Torah says this is the chok, right? Zos Torah Sa'adam, excuse me. So that's actually referencing Pasuk Yudal. Zos Torah Sa'adam, this is the Torah of man, or Ki Yamos Ba'oel. It's actually talking about Tumas Ol. If a person dies under a structure, under a roof, the Tumas spreads all over the place. So look what Rabbi Nachman says. Look in the bottom where it says the Kutei Halachas. Zos HaTorah Adam. He says, Kishemekaimin Esremach Mitzos HaTorah Az Nikraim Adam. Once you hear the Rebbe's play on words, Zos HaTorah. When you live a life of Torah, then what? Adam. Then you become a mensch. But if you don't have Torah in your life, you don't know how to become an Adam. Meaning what Rebbe was saying? There's only one way to dispel identity ambiguity. And there's only one way to truly embark on the journey of self-discovery. And there's only really one way to figure out ultimately who and what I am. And that is how? To embed myself in a lifestyle of spirituality. To embed myself in a lifestyle of Torah. Torah, and by the way, Torah doesn't just mean learning Torah. Torah means learning Torah. It also means living Torah, loving Torah, all of the different things. If you have Zos HaTorah, then you're an Adam. Which I both say is so profound, because so much of what we do when we learn is not just absorbing information, but when we learn ultimately again, that's when we have the ability to truly discover who and what we are. With Torah, learning it, living it, and loving it, we have the ability to discover, am I the Ben Shifcha, in which case I need to improve myself and become the Ben Melech, or am I the Ben Melech, in which case my Avoda is to simply amplify and build upon the foundation of pre-existing greatness. But unless I take the opportunity to embed myself in a lifestyle of Kiddusha, I'm going to spend my life searching for myself. I'm going to spend my life not knowing who and what I am. But if I have Zos HaTorah, then I could become an Adam. And once I become an Adam, I can truly figure out who and what I am. If I'm the Ben Melech, keep going. And if I'm the Ben Shifcha, Emeres Hashem, keep improving. All right, Debose, I apologize. Shorter shir tonight. Right. We have to stop here. Next week is Shivasar B'Tamuz. So there's no shir next Thursday night.